Are you ready for Janmashtami? Ready for Krishna to come? You want Krishna to come? There's someone who doesn't want Krishna to come. There is someone who doesn't want Krishna to come. His name is Kamsa Maharaj. That was easy to translate. The devotees are praying for Krishna to come. Devotees are very happy for Krishna to come. So you're going to have a very big festival here, is it? I heard a few thousand devotees are expected. So try to make a very wonderful festival for Krishna's pleasure. Will you do that? I know devotees are going to be busy now, all already started. All week they'll be making preparations, just so that everyone can appreciate how wonderful is Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, I'll speak from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 57. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chetasa sarvakarmani mahi sanyasya matparaha buddhi yoga mupashritya machitta satatam bhava. This is towards the end of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is just summarizing the topics of Bhagavad Gita and giving the conclusion. Now, from Arjuna's point of view, the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita is my problems. Arjuna asked Krishna to instruct him because he had many problems. And from Krishna's viewpoint, the thing which he wants to tell is that you, Arjuna, Jiva, should think of me. So Krishna is bringing the two points together, that the real business of the Jiva is to think of Krishna, and by doing so, he will cross over all problems. Or rather, that all problems are caused by forgetting Krishna. Or that the only problem is forgetting Krishna, and there is really no other problem. Sometimes people say, well, how can I think of God? I have so many problems. First of all, I should solve all my problems, then I can think of God very nicely. Once, one devotee is from South India. He went to visit one devotee who was living in a bit of a remote village. And he came to his village and he found him in a very distressed condition. That my brother has committed some crime, he's been arrested. My mind is so disturbed, I didn't chant my rounds for the last 2 days. But actually, if we're more disturbed, we should chant more. And anyway, we should chant more. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us very good advice. Jai shokol bipod bhaktivinoda bolen jokon o nam gai. That when we chant that name, the names of Krishna, Radha Krishna, then all dangers, all problems go away. So this Bhagavad Gita is excellent advice for everyone in the material situation, you and me. Because we all have problems, isn't it? We don't have to ask. Everyone has so many problems. We can analyze, scripture is analyzed. In scripture there is analysis. What are these problems? Mm-hmm. Adhyatmik, adhibhutik, adhidaivik. Adhyatmik, from our own body and our own mind, so many problems are coming. Even sometimes you'll find someone, their material situation seems to be quite good, but just because of their mind, they have so many. There's actually no major problem, but they just because of their mind, they feel anxiety for no reason. Modern psychologists have analyzed different kinds of phobia. There's dozens of words for different kinds of phobias. Yes. Fear of heights, fear of water, fear of other people, fear of machines, fear of marriage, and fear of animals, and there's dozens of words, I don't know, for all the different kinds of phobias. Then adhibhotik, that other people cause us distress. Other people, for no reason, someone may come and insult us, all mosquitoes bite, dogs bark and keep us awake at night, and so on and so on. Just where we're staying, they made a very nice, peaceful colony, so all the people can stay very peacefully.
Where are you staying?
Well, where I stayed last night. I don't stay really anywhere. People ask, where do I stay? Where do I live? I don't know.
Люди спрашивают меня, где вы живете? Я не знаю.
I don't really stay anywhere.
На самом деле, я нигде не живу.
Anyway, the place we're staying is very nicely arranged, very peaceful. But people have dogs, and they play a concert at night, so all the peaceful people don't get very good sleep, unless they drink plenty of vodka before going to sleep, which we don't. So, adi daivik klesh, too much heat, too much cold, Hare Krishna, too much rain, not enough rain. Anyway, there are plenty of problems in the world. These are just some examples. So, we are all suffering from various problems. We all have many, many problems. Is it true? Yet, no problems. Is that a yet or a yes? I'm not sure what to say. We all have many problems, but the only real problem is forgetting Krishna. Actually, if we think we have any problem except not remembering Krishna, then that itself is a problem. We think, oh, I have such great problems. But if we think I have great problems, that means we're thinking I'm a very important person. If we consider what a tiny little being we are within this massive universe, then how can we have big problems? So we're so insignificant, then how can we have big problems? It's only because we think of our situation or ourselves as being very important that we consider that we have big problems. But if we actually consider that I'm very insignificant, then how can we have big problems? Now this child was coming up here, and then she saw some nasty figure sitting on the seat and thought, there's a problem, and turned around and went back again. So those who have children, they know that children, they often have very big problems. They have such big problems that they start crying and screaming. And to the child, they perceive there's a very big problem. Yesterday, it's a very common incident. There was a young baby, about 1 year old, and his mother didn't see, and he picked up some of this aluminium foil and started chewing it. Mm-hmm. Then the mother saw and forcibly pulled it out of his mouth. And he started crying and screaming, not fair! Why is my mother doing that? He perceived it as a very serious problem to chew this aluminium foil, and this horrible mother pressing me. Why is she taking out of my mouth? The whole world is a bad place. As far as he's concerned, it's a very major problem. And he expresses his discontent by loudly crying like this. But then the mother brings some rattle or something and rattles it and says, go, 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 go. Then he forgets. So our problems are like this. We perceive certain objects as being suitable for our sense gratification. And if deprived of them, we feel distress. If we cannot get such objects for our sense gratification, we think of the whole world as a very bad place. And grown people don't usually express their discontent in the same way as babies do. But they may keep it inside themselves and then suffer from depression, or drink away their sorrows, or take it out on their dog, beat the dog, or sometimes they beat their wife, or sometimes the wife beats the husband. And in this way, they express their discontent. And they think, I have so many problems. But from Shastra, we understand that all these problems, however real they seem to us, have no real substance. What is the problem facing the average Russian today? Not enough money. Even if he's earning $10,000 a month, he'll think, I'm not getting enough money. Then for Muscovites, there is fear of terrorism increasingly in the Western world. They are thinking the real problem is the Muslims. And many Muslims are thinking the real problem is the Westerners. But actually, the real cause of the problem is every individual's not being Krishna conscious. We are not meant to be in this material world. We don't belong here. Only because we identify with our body and with the particular situation that we are in, that we consider that obstacles to our sense gratification are problems. And as a result of considering like that, we take birth after birth to suffer problem after problem. Just like in India, where I stay most of the time, although not in one place. By political propaganda, many people think that the real problem is Pakistan. So if an Indian is thinking, Pakistan, 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 then because of that consciousness, he may very likely be born in his next life in Pakistan. And then he'll think that the real problem is India. Just see, this is Maya. The real problem is that we identify with the body instead of understanding that we are pure spirit soul. One common problem is sickness. It's a problem, right? Everyone gets sick. Can anyone say they have never been sick? No one can say. Another problem is good health. What do you say about that, Audarya Dham Prabhu? He's not here today. Good health is also, because when we have good health, then we think, yeah, everything's great, wonderful, life is wonderful. You feel, yes, the world is so good, now I can really enjoy myself. Just, let me see, 2 days ago, I was at a hill camp. Our devotees, they had a tent camp on top of a hill in Slovenia, which used to be part of Yugoslavia. So we were driving down, and we came to our path was blocked by one car, and one local man who was a farmer in the area, he'd parked his car there and he was cutting wood, stocking it up for the upcoming winter. So he was a big, strong, healthy man, about 50 years old, and it was a nice sunny day and he was cutting the wood, and one devotee asked him, he said, "Hi, how are you? No, the devotee said to him. And he replied, "America!" Which I asked him, what does that mean? They said, well, they say that means very good. That's supposed to be a synonym for everything good in life. He's obviously never been to America. Anyway, the point is, he's strong, he's healthy, it's a summer's day, he's working, he feels wonderful. But he doesn't realize that this feeling wonderful is also a problem because it increases our identification with the body. In this Slovenia hill camp, one devotee was saying to me, he said, I'm 32 years old and I made a list of all the people that I knew who have died. It's an interesting thing to do. So he said, I'm only 32, but I knew 80 people who have died. So I never made a list, but I'm older than him, I probably know more. Now, several times I've seen men who are very strong throughout their life. And, people respected them, or they had some big position and they were giving orders, you do this, you do that, go here, go there. But in their old age, they can hardly move. Before, they were feeling, everyone is dependent on me. But then they become completely helpless and incapable and fully dependent on others, even to walk 10 meters. So such people, if they don't have transcendental knowledge, usually become very depressed at the end of life. They don't want to see anyone. They feel ashamed that the same person who looked up to me for my strength and my influence, now I'm just lying on a bed and I've lost that position. He didn't know, he never thought he would come to that position. No one thinks. The intoxicated position of enjoying life We think this will go on forever. There are so many cases. In India, there was one businessman by some kind of shady dealings. You know what that means? Shady dealings?
Yeah.
He became very rich and famous and respected. He was one of the top socialites in Bombay, India's richest city.
Socialite
means, you know, they're like the... they go to parties and people take photos and their name's in the paper. Like the fashionable elite. Bombay. Then one day, without any warning, boom, he was arrested by the police and thrown in prison pending investigation of his shady dealings. And he got sick in prison and died like a fallen star. No one thinks it will happen to me. What is our problem? Birth after birth, forgetting Krishna. So here Krishna gives a solution. That by being Krishna conscious, we cross over all problems. What does that mean? Does that mean if we become Krishna conscious that we don't have to wear a coat in Moscow in January? Does it mean that I won't get sick? Does it mean that I won't die? Life will go on according to the way of the material world. But becoming Krishna conscious means seeing everything from a different perspective. In material consciousness, we think that I should be the enjoyer of this material world. And in Krishna consciousness, we think how we can engage everything in Krishna's service. A materialistic person and a Krishna conscious person, they see the same world. A materialistic person might see, for instance, a big building. Or let's give another example. He may see an empty plot of land in the center of Moscow. And a materialistic person may think, if I could get this plot of land, I could build condominiums and make lots of money. Condominium means it means housing, flats, and high-class housing complex. But a devotee thinks that here there should be a magnificent temple of Krishna built, and Krishna should be glorified at this place. Now, the materialistic person will go through much struggle to fulfill his ambition. And the devotee also will go through much struggle if a magnificent temple for Krishna is to be built in the heart of Moscow. It will not be done simply by sitting down and looking at our toes, nor even by sitting and just chanting Hare Krishna. It will require much endeavor on the part of devotees. We can expect that there will be many obstacles. Now, you're just saying that if we become Krishna conscious, there will be no problems. But definitely, if we are to build a temple for Krishna, there'll be so many problems. But actually, there is no problem, because Krishna's help is there. We can be, even in the most difficult circumstances, we can be sure of Krishna's help and protection. As Krishna says in the next verse, so Krishna didn't tell Arjuna. Arjuna was lamenting, oh, it's such a difficult situation. And Krishna didn't say, oh, I really sympathize with you. You just sit down on this chariot and drink a Coca-Cola and we'll think what to do about it. He told him, no, you rascal, get up and fight. Why do you want to avoid the problem? And now Krishna is saying that you can overcome all problems by my grace. That doesn't mean that the difficulties of material existence will not exist. But we will see the difficulty as an opportunity to serve Krishna instead of an obstruction to my sense gratification. Even materialistic persons say that in every difficulty there is an opportunity. And particularly for devotees. If Ravana had not kidnapped Sita, who would have known how great is the dedication of Hanuman to Ram? If Hiranyakashipu had not tortured Prahlad, who would have known how great is the devotion of Prahlad to Krishna? So Krishna arranges opportunities for his devotees to serve him according to the degree of their surrender. Not every devotee is given the opportunity to serve the Lord in the manner of Hanuman and Prahlad. Now, in material consciousness, we're always trying to avoid problems. We think, there's my enemy, I should kill him. Or if it's too much problem, you think, I'll just leave this situation. Just like Arjuna, he wanted to leave that situation. He thought, this is too much, I'll just leave, I won't. But Krishna gave him transcendental knowledge by which he could understand that wherever we go, the problems go with us. If we think, I will go somewhere else, I'll get out of this circumstance, then according to the karmic reactions that we are due, we will get the same kind of difficulties in another way somewhere else. So Krishna advises us to go on with our service in all circumstances. If we are to do service to Krishna, we cannot expect that it will be easy in all circumstances. Why do we so much glorify Srila Prabhupada? There are many devotees of Prabhupada's generation who chanted Hare Krishna, who were scholarly, austere, dedicated to Krishna. But only Prabhupada took that difficulty, so much difficulty, to come and preach in the Western world. It was difficult, but because he fully depended on Krishna, he was determined to go on with that service. And by his mercy, he's left us plenty of opportunity to serve him also. So we can understand that Krishna is very pleased with the devotees here because he's given the opportunity for a good struggle how to build this wonderful temple for Krishna in the heart of Moscow. So we may think that we'll build a temple and then everything will be nice. But the material world is never nice. From the temple, we should show what is the Vaikuntha atmosphere. The Vaikuntha atmosphere means where everyone appreciates everyone else's service. In the material world, no two people can agree on everything. Even among devotees, there may be so many disagreements. But the center is Krishna. They may strongly disagree on how to serve Krishna, but they are united on the principle of serving Krishna. Even in the spiritual world, Mother Yashoda is calling, Krishna, Krishna, come home for your lunch. And the cowherd boy is saying, no, stay here and play with us. Don't spoil our game. If you don't stay with us, we won't ever talk to you ever again. And Mother Yashoda is saying, Krishna, Nanda Maharaj is waiting for you. So Krishna's in a dilemma. Social dealings naturally cause dissension. So Mother Yashoda and the cowherd boys may have some differences of opinion, but they're united on the principle of serving Krishna. And if we actually want to serve Krishna, then certainly we will have many problems in our lives. Because this material world is a place where everyone is dedicated to the principle of forgetting Krishna. So preaching Krishna consciousness means to go against the whole current of the material world. But a devotee who tries to preach Krishna consciousness is certain to be assisted by Krishna. And although in one sense it seems that there are problems, but actually such a devotee is blissful. Because in the difficulties, he remembers Krishna more and more. That is why Kunti Devi prayed, Vipada Santu Tasashva, Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru, Bhavato Darshanam Yatsad, Apuna Bhava Darshanam. She prayed for more difficulties. Who prays to God for more difficulties? Mostly everyone goes, remove my difficulty. But Kunti Devi prayed completely oppositely, give me more difficulties. Because she said, if we have more difficulties, then we remember you more. And by remembering you, she said, then we will no longer see repeated birth and death. So this Bhagavad Gita is very practical advice for our lives. Nowadays, people who have got enough money, they go to psychologists. The psychologists themselves have so many mental disturbances. In America, it's practically part of the culture. Everyone goes to a psychologist. But among all the professions in America, the number one suicide rate is among psychologists. So no need take Bhagavad Gita as it is and chant Hare Krishna. Really, it's a fact that all our problems we can see for what they are, of no real significance, simply based on false identification with this body. And the real thing that we need to do is to remember Krishna. Right? You agree? Jai. Hare Krishna. So then what's left to do? To chant what? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So everyone should chant Hare Krishna and become fully Krishna conscious, and then they'll have no more problem. Is that correct? Yes, da. But Prahlad Maharaj, he said, I have no problems. He told Nrsimhadev, I have no problems because I always remember you and chant your holy name. When Hiranyakashipu was torturing me, I didn't think it was a problem. I was happy. I was remembering you. But there is one problem. Not personal problem, but that everyone in this world is forgetting you. Yes. So a devotee has no personal problems. He's blissful. Yes. But he sees the whole world is forgetting Krishna. My dear brothers and sisters, you are suffering so much forgetting Krishna. And therefore a devotee, being compassionate to others, tries to preach Krishna consciousness. Distribute books. Which books? Prabhupada's books. Build a temple. You want to build a big temple in Moscow. Why? For the glorification of Krishna. Actually, there should be many temples. Prabhupada said in Delhi at that time, which was Delhi was a much smaller city at that time, he said there should be 12 temples here. ISKCON temples. So, Moscow is a bigger city than Delhi. At least in size. Population may be about the same. So we probably need about 20 temples here. Start with one. What's Yashamadi Nandan going to say? You have plans for 25 temples, is it? He's saying only why 20 temples? Be a temple on every street. In fact, make the whole city one big temple. And then it'll float off up to Vaikuntha. That's Yashamadi Nandan's idea. All the people are coming to Moscow. So everyone that comes will put tilak on. Give them a big bag and send them to Vaikuntha. Yes. And then there'll be no more problems in Moscow. Only problem will be, someone is calling, Krishna, you come home for lunch. And others will say, no, keep him here.
Keep him?
Here! Yeah. So there's a lot of work to do to turn Moscow into Vaikuntha. Still quite a long way to go, isn't it? It's not quite like Vaikuntha yet. So many things to do means there will be many obstacles to face. But a devotee remains happy in the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and faces all difficulties knowing that Krishna is protecting us and that our only duty in this miserable material world is to serve Krishna, especially by preaching Krishna consciousness. So it's very inspiring for me to come here and see all the devotees so enthusiastic. Especially, I feel this temple project is going to be a major milestone in the history of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So, Krishna is coming, Janmashtami is coming, temple is coming. We have to make our hearts ready to receive Krishna. Then Krishna will surely come. All glories to all the wonderful devotees who are glorifying Krishna in this place which Prabhupada put his merciful glance upon. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.